Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Surely, Julianne Moore is one of the most accomplished actresses of our day. She's appeared in dozens of critically acclaimed films, including The Hours, Boogie Nights, A Single Man, The Kids Are All Right, many more. She's been nominated for 4 Oscars. She's won a Golden Globe. But Moore is also a celebrity who has an identity on multiple platforms. And despite her British, blue-blooded, traditional actress chops, is something of a queen of all media. On stage, on the screens, big and small, in advertising, as a children's book author, oh right, and mom, she's done it all. Julianne Moore sat down with us a few days ago to talk about the craft of acting and the 21st century idea of identity in this age of exploding media. Moore says when you're an actress, the idea of identity is already in play.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, particularly for me and some of the parts that I choose, yeah.
Well, in the course of this conversation, I think we're going to try to cover as many different identities for Julianne Moore as there are. And we'll just begin with the reason we're speaking with you today. You're Julianne Moore, the cook.
Yes, well, you know, in a matter of speaking.
The Celebrity Pasta Lovers Cookbook.
What I did was partner with Barilla, the pasta company, and Mario Batali to develop this this cookbook called the Celebrity Pasta Lovers Cookbook. And basically, it's a program called Share the Table that sort of encourages families to cook at home and share a meal at home and enjoy one another and you know, forge a bond. And people can go to sharethetable.com and download this cookbook for free. And through October 15th, Barilla will donate $1 to Meals on Wheels, which is a pretty great thing.
But the premise of something like this is that your power as a celebrity, your identity as a person somehow drives people to investigate this cookbook and then take action.
Yeah, and it's a weird, I think it's a weird time in our culture because I certainly feel that 20 years ago, the celebrity didn't have this kind of authority. It didn't seem to drive the human interest market as much as it does now. But,
well,
you know,
but that's,
there you go.
That's really the question. I mean, what was your notion of what Julianne Moore could achieve as a celebrity, say 20, 25 years ago?
Gosh, none, you know, none. Mm. I mean, certainly that was not in my so-called, you know, life plan, being a celebrity. I wanted to be an actor, and I still am. I mean, I'm an actor. The other stuff that's happened as a byproduct of my being an actor has been a complete and utter surprise to me. But the great byproduct has been my ability to bring attention to causes that I'm really interested in, you know, and certainly families and children and charities that involve, you know, poverty, people not having enough to eat, having a great education. Those things, I think, really appeal to me. And so I've been able to kind of do work concerning that.
And a lot of celebrities have sort of taken the same challenge and have moved to, you know, advance other kinds of causes. It seems to me, though, that when you were beginning your performing career, I mean, the identity you could have would be successful on film, successful in television, successful on stage. And those three platforms were pretty much it.
Right.
Now, there's like thousands of platforms. I mean, there could be a Julianne Moore identity on my cell phone, right?
I guess so, but that would be beyond me.
Well, be careful what you say there, Julianne Moore. You're already a children's author here, right?
That's true. I've written, I'm working on my third book is coming out actually next year, and the first book is being made into an off-Broadway musical that's opening on October 1st.
You know, my favorite identity for you, thinking about the movie The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah.
Creator of a genre, lesbian family comedy. Who knew?
I'm very proud to be involved with that movie. That was a movie that I was attached to actually for 5 years. I met Lisa a long time ago, and we had the script, and we're trying to get it going. And, you know, last summer we were finally able to get the money and get the cast and shoot it. And I'm so gratified that people have enjoyed it, and it's had such success because I think the movie is wonderful and really, you know, really about a very bourgeois family. But the thing that makes it groundbreaking is, of course, that they happen to be lesbians.
Right.
But I think that for a lot of the homosexual families that I know, certainly today, it's not a groundbreaking subject for them because this is the life that they've been living for the last 20 years.
What do you think the future of storytelling is, given all of these distribution platforms, all these sorts of deal-making skills you have to have, and the technology that you have to understand?
Well, I actually think that at the end of the day, I think people talk about how the entertainment business has changed so much. But the one thing that never changes historically is content. You know, people are always going to want story, and they're going to want story in lots of different forms. They're going to want story on television. They're going to want it in the movies. They're going to want it in literature. They're going to want it on the internet. They're going to want it in video games. You know, all of these places are places where we can kind of get our fix, you know, for story. You know, so right now we have so many avenues for entertainment. It's just, it's no longer, you know, when you look historically, you realize there are certain times when one venue is predominant. You know, for example, there was a period when radio was the predominant
sure. yeah.
form of,
yeah.
of story entertainment.
That was a few thousand years ago, Julianne. Radio, yeah.
Then the golden age of television. And then, of course, you know, films. You think about films in the 70s. And right now we have this explosion, of course, with content on the internet, where you have people posting their own films. You have YouTube. You have Hulu and iTunes and this kind of a portable, you know, entertainment center.
I'm wondering if you could share with us the most outlandish pitch you've gotten to be Julianne Moore in some platform that you'd perhaps never even heard of until it was pitched to you.
Outlandish pitch. I'm trying to think. I mean, you know, I'm pretty traditional. I mean, so but basically, I work a lot in independent film, and so there really hasn't been much that has come up in terms of something that seems outrageous to me that's like so outside the box.
Do you think there's an independent film genre or an independent film sort of identity that might exist in some of these other technological platforms?
You know, I mean, not really, not that I can think of. I mean, you know, oddly, I mean, the interesting thing is that even when, you know, you talk about internet entertainment stuff, basically the format is fairly traditional. You're still going to be making a movie. It just might be smaller in scale and smaller in size, you know, shorter or something. But really, it's basically the same thing that we've been doing, you know, for centuries as actors, which is performing a story.
Which, if anything, should make you feel much more confident as you go forward in the fact that you certainly have that down.
Oh, my God, absolutely. And like I said, you know, no matter, I mean, people can make a lot of noise about the form in which we receive our entertainment, but basically it is always about story. And so that's the thing that makes me feel, you know, excited and relieved, too, because I know that it's not, it's, you know, sometimes I hear this stuff and it feels like a horror story, like, oh, things are changing so rapidly. We can't keep up. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. But really, when you look at it, it's just the same story wrapped in a different package.
Well, she's excited. She sounds very confident there. Julianne Moore, Academy Award nominated actress, contributed to the Celebrity Pasta Lovers Cookbook, and author of A Freckle Faced Strawberry, which is now on Broadway. Regular on last season's 30 Rock. I could go on, right? Julianne Moore, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, John. Nice to talk to you.
I'm such a big fan of hers, John. Well, if you want to hear more about films, head to our site and get our podcast, Movie Date, Newsday critic Rafer Guzman, and our own Kristen Meinzer talk films every week, and you can listen in. Just go to thetakeaway.org.
Where you can find out that actually Freckle-Faced Strawberry is off-Broadway, not on Broadway, as I said there a moment ago. Want to know what we're working on? Start the conversation early every day by subscribing to get the takeaways texts. Text the word, or send the word start to 69866. We'll tell you about the next day's show. We'll give you a chance to weigh in. You can guess what Todd Zoilik is wearing tomorrow. That's start to 69866. Normal texting rates apply. I'm John Hockenberry. Hey, buddy.
Hey, John Hockenberry. I'm Todd Zoilik in for Celeste Headlee, going to cover the Republicans tomorrow. And for the record, I will be wearing a suit, as always. Celeste will be broadcasting from Denver tomorrow. I will be in Virginia. This is The Takeaway.